Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM studio in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. Joining us again, we have Cody Kraut. Mr. Cody, thank you again for being here.
Absolutely. Always good to talk with you.
Yes, sir. Want to talk a little bit, you know, in a last go, we talked about filming, and I want to talk a little bit about the filming career that you have going on. You're partnered with a company called Growing Deer TV.
Yep.
And tell us a little bit about that, please.
Sure. So all throughout high school, I was a big fan of Growing Deer. And if anyone out there hasn't heard of Growing Deer, they've got a YouTube channel, just Growing Deer TV. And Grant Woods is the host of it. And he's a wildlife biologist out of Branson, Missouri. And he's an incredible man, incredibly intelligent, and he knows a lot about whitetail. But like I said, I was a big fan of the show growing up. Very, very educational. You'll learn a lot from him. So I, after watching the show for so long, in 2020, I got married to my wife, Mackenzie, and it was during COVID. And so it was kind of hard to schedule where to get married, and she was getting kind of stressed. And so I ended up finding Big Cedar Lodge down by Branson, Missouri. And I looked into that and I kind of priced everything out, and I took her on a date down there. And I was like, took her to the little chapel. I was like, we could get married here. And I just kind of planned it all out. I was like, this, we could do it just like this, and it would be this much. And she ended up falling in love with the idea. And so that's what we did. And for my bachelor party, my brother-in-law, when we were down there for the wedding, we went down about a week early, and he actually had contacted Grant from Growing Deer and got it set up so that we could go and meet him. No way. I had no idea. And so, we go and we went to some barbecue joint and picked up some food and started driving through the hills and hollers of Branson, Missouri. Had no idea where we were going. And then we turned down his lane. And then I started looking around and I was starting to put it together because I was like, hey, a bunch of archery targets here. That looks a lot like that episode. And I was just like, no, don't get my hopes up. Don't get my hopes up. And then, we ended up parking, and I was like, yeah, this looks like the proving grounds, Grant's place. And, then Grant popped out, and yeah, I was kind of starstruck for a while there. So, but yeah, that's how I got my start. We sat down, we got to eat with him and talked to him for a few hours. And, for my wedding gift, my groomsman actually bought me a map of our property. And so Grant kind of sat down with me and kind of showed me like things that he was looking at on it. So it was just a super cool experience. And, we had a YouTube channel before this that my brother-in-law and I did, and Grant had watched some of those videos. And then, a couple weeks after the wedding, they contacted us and just asked if we would want to be a part of Growing Deer. And, I believe I couldn't say yes fast enough. So that's kind of how we got started. And it's been so much fun since. Grant, like I said, incredible man, awesome resource to have. But yeah, just an awesome guy, and it's been so much fun.
Yeah. I will, agree with you 100% on Grant. I met him 20 years ago, and we were a sponsor of a QDMA, and we were at the national, convention for QDMA. Since we were a sponsor, I got sat at a table, and there's Grant Woods. And I knew him because, just from hunting videos. At the time, he might have still been involved in Biologic, which anybody that knows Mossy Oak Biologic, Grant Woods invented that. And that dinner, just me being me, I didn't let anybody else talk to him. I hogged Grant the whole dinner. And every day I think about deer hunting, probably something from that conversation steers, what I'm trying to do, whether it be from a, data perspective or from the ideas that he shared with me on, he told me, he's like, where I am in Missouri, deer aren't used to soybeans. And he goes, so I planted soybeans and the first year they didn't even touch them because they hadn't been acclimated to that. So right. Even when I'm trying something new for a food plot, I refer back to that one day where I met this guy, Grant Woods, who just, what an awesome guy. So I know you already have told him hi for me, but tell him again, please.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. He's an incredible man. And like, I've had some pretty cool experiences. I got to go down and help them burn a couple of years ago. I think we burned like 60 acres down there. And I got to just sit in a car with him for about 15 minutes as we were driving back to his place and just talking about life. And it's not just deer hunting. Like he's an incredible human. He really is. Him and Daniel as well. They're awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys got invited to be a part of the team. And then what exactly does that, you know, include? Like what is the core function which you guys are able to provide there?
Yeah. So beforehand, like I said, we had the YouTube channel and it wasn't supposed to, we weren't trying to do anything really with it. We just wanted to have some fun and have those memories in video form. So I would edit the videos. So basically the way it works now is I go out and I'm filming my hunts or filming whatever I'm doing. If I'm checking trail cam picture or checking some trail cameras, I'll take pictures and videos and send to them for their sponsors. But basically we'll go out, get some videos, get some pictures, hopefully shoot a big buck along the way. And then we'll send it over to Grant and Daniel, and they've got their editors that will edit everything for us, and then they'll share it with all the sponsors, whichever ones are relevant. And then they've got their show. So if you get a good video of a buck, and I've even had a couple where I've shot some does, but there was some lessons in there that could be learned, and so they actually took some doe kills and turned those into episodes as well. Oh, so wow. Pretty much if you get some good video where there's a lesson to be learned, they will take it and make an episode out of it. So yeah, we'll just take videos, send it to them. They'll edit it, make a episode out of it if it warrants it. And then yeah, sending everything else out to the sponsors.
So that's got to work really good with your addiction to filming hunts.
Absolutely.
It allows you to do maybe more of that.
Yeah,
because some of the back end stuff's taken care of.
Yes, for sure, which is really cool. Because like I said, I was doing the editing beforehand, and I mean, I had a lot of fun with it. But yeah, it's very convenient just to go out, film, and then I get home and I can just upload everything to Dropbox and let them know it's there, and then they make the magic happen for me.
Okay. I'm looking at, maybe this is your video right here. It looks like 15,000 views here on this YouTube that Buckditch killed last year. A lot of the guys in camp had already known who you were before they met you. What, any idea? Did you do a view count on that, or have you ever looked at that?
No. So that was kind of wild. I actually, until this very moment, I actually thought that was a joke, that they didn't actually know who I was, but.
No, they had all seen, they all watched Growing Deer.
Yeah.
And they all had, like, I was like, yeah, my buddy Cody's going to stop by. You know, I said, you know, he works with Growing Deer. And they were like, oh, really? Oh, really? And then after you left, they were like, oh, yeah, I've seen a video. Like,
yeah, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'll look at the views because Growing Deer, I mean, they're really generous too. So every year that they'll give a bonus to the pro staffer who has the social media producer of the year, who's basically produced the most for social media, whether it's their own or Growing Deer's. And then there's also a producer of the year, which is based off of the episode and total views. So, so like last year, I think mine had 30 something.
Okay.
So I was actually lucky enough to be producer of the year last year.
Nice.
But yeah.
That's awesome. Well, so if somebody listening right now wanted to go see one of your videos on YouTube or anywhere on social, what would be the best way for them to do that be?
Yeah. So going to YouTube and searching growing deer, and I don't have all the episodes. I don't have all the numbers with me, but I know my buck this year, it was titled Big Buck and Coyote Tagged on 4 acres, I believe. So type in growing deer and then something along those lines. My buck from this past year, it'll pop up.
Okay. Yeah. Is that the number in the parentheses right there? Is it 841?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So that'd be episode 841.
Yes.
That's awesome. And then I don't expect you to remember the episode numbers, but you've got another really good kill from the season prior.
Yep. I've got, oh goodness. One of the coolest videos, the very first year we joined, they made an episode out of a buck that I had rattled in and I didn't end up shooting it. But it was one of those, it was just a really good lesson. You know, I rattled in a buck that was north of me, had a north wind, and it was like 300 yards north of me in a field. I rattled again and he just made a big loop around me through the timber to try to get downwind of me.
Okay.
So that was the first episode I ever had. And I think I've got 6 or 7 on there at this point, but
awesome. That's one of the, I religiously watch Growing Deer. I just think it's hilarious that, you know, I've gotten to become friends with somebody that's on it.
Yeah.
But no,
I still can't believe that I get to film for him. It's been so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. During season, when, you know, we're shuttling guys out to the woods, you know, trying to plan a strategy, it just gets to the point where it's podcast after podcast after podcast. I listen to a lot of, you know, like the Mississippi State guys, the, yep, you know, Georgia guys, and of course Growing Deer, just because it seems so real time. I mean, stuff comes out fast.
Yep.
You shot that deer on, what did you say, October
26th.
26th. And then this one came out. This one came out. Well, it's not showing me, but
it would have been 2-3 weeks after. So yeah, they're not messing around whenever they're putting out videos. Most of the videos that they're making, if it's not an episode like a deer kill, they're taking like what's going on in the whitetail woods at that moment, and they're filming and turning it around like that week. And they've had one video per week for at least, I believe he said, the last 15 years. So they've not missed a week.
Wow. Yeah. It says, I think November 4th. Okay. This came out, and so
yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing. And the benefit that gives me is, you know, I had a biologist come out last year, really good guy. His name's DJ Stakely, and he works with Buck Commander. Just happened to see a video and called, and I got straight DJ and. Ends up, he comes out. My whole premise was, I've been doing this for so long, I'd love to get somebody else's opinion, you know, and just really trying to understand what other people are doing. And then the Growing Deer stuff comes out and boom, it's pre-rut. These are strategies that we're using. And you just go in and you listen and it's like, okay, I'm doing this. Even if, you know, some of these, you know, .edu extensions, like some of these Mississippi State and stuff like that, you don't always have to agree with it, but be aware of it. And then as you're aware of it, when you see it, it gives you a chance to look at something from a different perspective. And so I love watching those things. And, you know, sometimes the hunters are right there in with me on the way to the stand go, oh yeah, yeah. You know, like that. Yeah. Okay. So this is what we're doing today, right? Yep. Just like you heard on Growing Deer TV.
Yeah. Another thing cool that Grant will do, Grant and Daniel, they, one of the sponsors is Moultrie Mobile, mm-hmm. the trail cam. And so they'll, throughout the deer season, they'll do a video once a week, just showing how they're utilizing their trail cameras and what they're seeing from their trail cameras. And that's something that's really cool to see, just like, cause there's some things that you just don't really think about. It's like, oh, I go put my camera on a tree and that's where it is. And they'll say like, okay, well it's early season, so we're actually putting our cameras like on a green food source or something like that. And now that it's like pre-rut, okay, we're not going to move them over to the funnels. And now it's late season, oh, back to food. But they get in pretty good detail about what they're doing, why they're doing, and they'll show their videos and they break it down and do a really good job.
And that's dead on. So cameras are cyclical, right? Like some days you just don't get a lot of photos. Some day, you know, and then all of a sudden, I think one of the episodes that you're thinking of right now, we're talking about right now, time to change your cameras. This phase is in.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, I should move some of these cameras because, you know, the deer movement, the patterns are changing. It's more towards, let's go out there and do some of that.
Yeah. And like we hinted at, it's not like they're filming this and then it's coming out 3-4 weeks later. They're filming it and it's going out like a day or two later, whenever. So it's real time information.
And it's all backed up by science.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So with that, we're going to take a break and hear a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. Returning, Cody Kraut, Growing Deer TV, bow hunter, outdoor enthusiast, coyote hunter, coyote slayer, not much of a waterfowler. Cody, let's hear about that.
Well, you want to hear about every duck hunt I've ever been on?
You know, there was one in particular. I think it was your first.
Yeah, that's all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so never was a big duck hunter. First time ever going out, I think it was a youth season, and it was me and my dad in a blind with a bunch of other little kids and their dads. And long story short, we'd have some ducks fly over. I'd shoot at one of them and it would fall out of the sky, and every single little kid in there would be like, "Daddy, daddy, I got it, I got it." And I don't know if I was the one that got that duck or not, but I was not thrilled that I wasn't getting the credit that I thought I deserved for it. So that kind of put a bad taste in my mouth, and I've just never been back after them.
Yeah, I think that's everybody's experience first time out. I'm with you 100%. I think I was an adult going, "I shot that one."
Getting in fights in the blind. Yeah. At least you have a good breakfast.
Right. It's a lot of fun. So coyote hunting, become something that you're real passionate about.
Oh yeah.
What is it about coyote hunting that you really started to enjoy the most?
Oh man, there's a few things. First off, just the benefits of it, you know, like whenever you take out a predator, you're saving the life of however many deer, however many turkeys. You know, during the denning season of a coyote's life, a female coyote, it's estimated, will kill 19 fawns to feed itself and its pups. So the way I look at it is, whenever you kill a coyote, you're helping out the deer population, turkey population. But other than that, it's just a blast. And especially using thermals, I was never a video game player growing up.
Okay.
My parents were more of go outside and play with that stick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for that. But it's just, whenever you get in that thermal scope, it looks like a video game, and something about it, it's just really cool. And it's been a lot of fun, 'cause like, I've been hunting for a long time, and like, I've been learning a lot about deer hunting, but just diving in deep to coyote hunting, it's been a lot of fun, because starting as a novice, like, I was able to learn a lot quickly. And so that just makes it a lot more exciting whenever you're just like, "Oh, I didn't think about this, but now we're doing this and this and this," and starting to kill more coyotes. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, taking the journey into coyote hunting.
Yeah. Momentum.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So you coyote hunt a lot with your father.
Yes.
And, you know, what usually go out about right before it gets dark? You wait till it's dark. What are some of the strategies when you're going to go, you know, chasing after these four-legged furry little?
Yeah. So whenever my dad and I decide like, "Hey, let's go coyote hunting tonight or tomorrow," whenever, first thing I do is I'll check the weather, and I look to see wind direction, and then I'll check the moon phase. And okay, I'm checking that because if it's a full moon, especially if you have snow on the ground, you're going to stick out pretty good. So knowing the wind direction, I'm not going to hunt a block of timber where the winds or the wind's blowing right into it. Cause those coyotes, they're predators. They use their nose. They're going to try to get downwind of you and you just don't want to make it easy for them. So I want to kind of mark off spots like, okay, I'm not going to go here, not going to go here, and kind of have a list of ideas of properties that I can go to. But then with the moon, then, you know, there's sometimes if there's zero wind or zero moon, you can go and park right in the middle of a field and stand at the hood of the car and start calling. And like the other day, well, this is a couple of weeks ago, but my dad and I went out and we're like 400 yards from the nearest timber. And we parked by the truck, sat by the truck, and we ended up, he shot a bobcat. And then we got, shots at three different coyotes just right in the middle. So, but if it's a full moon, you're not going to be able to get away with that. So then you want to, you just know like, okay, I'm going to need to be up against the barn, some timber. You're just going to want some cover.
Okay. And then as you're kind of plotting your setup, you know, we talk a lot about hunting funnels and saddles and benches and stuff for whitetail. What are you kind of looking for from a coyote perspective?
Yeah. So ideally I've noticed like, I kind of categorize all my, the places that I can hunt into like, this is my A spot, B spot, C spot. And my A spots are the ones that produce the most. And I've definitely noticed the ones that are the A spots are those ones that have that thick cover, a lot of brush where there's probably going to be rabbits, up in there. And, CRP seems to be pretty popular. If there's some CRP around that tends to hold them. And then your kind of C properties, which is more like you'll get one like every 4 or 5 times you go.
Okay.
Those are your more wide open timber that aren't necessarily going to be holding coyotes. But the other benefit you have at night is coyotes kind of have this bubble that they're willing to travel. And whenever you're going out at night, their bubble's quite a bit bigger. And so they hear so well. And whenever you're playing that e-caller, like you can call them in from half a mile away, no problem.
Okay.
So that helps a lot. And I did forget to answer the, you asked about like what time I tend to go out, and that's pretty much just whenever we end up going.
Okay.
We always wait till dark at least, since we're using thermals, which you can use them in the daylight too. But, we figure if we've got the thermals, we might as well have it dark, put as much in our favor as possible. And I've started a log this year because I was curious to see if time made a difference. Like if it's half hour after sunlight or if it's 5 hours after, like when are we killing the most coyotes? And last year I kind of had a theory that once the traffic on the road started to die down, the coyotes started to run more because I felt like we were killing more later in the night. But this year I haven't really noticed much of a difference. Some of our most successful stands have been the first hunt of the night, which has just been like half hour to an hour after dark.
Okay. All right. Have you ever given, you know, when I think about our properties and coyote hunting, have you ever given consideration to like tower blind setups and stuff like that? Are they going to be synonymous with deer travel a little bit to where it would be effective to hunt some of the tower blinds?
Yeah, you definitely could. So I've been talking to Grant about going down and hunting his properties.
Yeah.
And so like the way his property lays out, it's big rolling hills. I mean, he's in the mountain of the Ozark, or he's in the Ozark Mountains. And like down there, I feel like about the only thing you could do to hunt it is to get in his redneck blinds. Just because the way the thermals are.
Yeah.
And it makes it the coyotes, I just feel like, would be able to use the terrain in their favor. And I mean, they're going to use their nose, so it's easy for them to get downwind and smell you. But then in like my instance, using thermals, it will make it a little bit more difficult since like if you're scanning, trying to see the coyotes, you got to have the window open to be able to actually see, because they won't see through the windows.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, we appreciate you sharing your coyote knowledge and tips, some of the equipment that you're using. you know, I think you're sponsored by some of these through Growing Deer. What kind of thermal optics are you using?
Yeah, so I've got the Burris. It's okay. The Burris 35 V2 is the scope that I have, and then I also have the BTH 50 handheld monocular.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as thermals go, I feel like for the price point, because you can spend a lot of money on thermals, but I feel like Burris has some of the best optics for the price you get them at.
Okay, cool. And then with your scope, you're still able to record your kills.
Yep.
And do all the cool stuff with that.
Yep, which every now and then you'll see some videos of on Growing Deer of some coyotes that I've killed, but the way the Burris scope works is you just hook it up to your phone on Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you want to hit record, you just hit record on your app. So on my tripod that my gun is set up on,
yeah,
I've got a little holder that holds my phone. And so whenever I see a coyote, I just hit record. I got it all set up. So they make it pretty easy.
Oh man, that's slick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're out of time. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely.
Been fun.